not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. I know I did. Before we get into that, let's check on the weather here. And it's pretty warm out there. 70 degrees. The wind is basically zilch out of the south at 4 miles an hour. Gust up to 8 miles an hour. Hang on to your hats. Dew point is 31 and humidity is 23. And we will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up later in the show. But back to Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a great one. I know I had a good one. My nephew came out from Oklahoma City, and we went quail hunting, deer hunting, fed some cattle. What else we do? Oh, we ate at my son's place down at Willow, west of Willow down there. My daughter-in-law had all her family here. It was a good time. I think there was more dogs there than humans. I think everybody in her family has at least one or not two dogs, but I can't complain. I got two. Had one of them with me. My bear dog Zoe was with me, and she outweighed all those. She probably weighed as much as all those other dogs put together, but she intimidated all those little rascals, so it wasn't peaceful and quiet around there all the time. But anyway, we had a good time. Wife Sandy went up to her parents and went to her aunt's house in Stillwater. It was all good. I didn't shoot a deer. We didn't see any quail. Seen 10 coveys in the last couple of weeks. I went hunting with the dog finally, and the humidity was just zero, and it was just, most good dogs can't smell during, they got to have some dew. So anyway, we didn't find any, but she got some exercise, I got some exercise, and that made me hungry for the Thanksgiving dinner. Our KCO Ag text line is open, and I need some input from you guys, if you will. And that number is 580-225-9697. U.S. Representative Frank Lucas will be on my show tomorrow for the first half of the show. And I'm going to be asking him a few questions about things happening in the agriculture world. And if you guys have something you would like for me to ask him and I have time, if you'll text it in to me today, I'll screenshot it with my phone, and I'll know what to ask him tomorrow. But here's your chance to ask Frank something. Be calm and cool about it. I don't need no radical stuff going on, but it needs to happen with agriculture. Something to do with agriculture, not nothing to do with anything else going on, because it's ag show, and I try to keep it ag. Sometimes we can't, but... So if you get a chance and you want to ask him a question, text it in to me at 580-225-9697. Guys, that weather forecast, the Long Ranger's coming up, but I was looking at 2 weeks out. Next Wednesday may be our only chance of some moisture. We need it. It's dry out there. Starting to see the blue spots in the wheat and the rye already. And there's some stuff that's still in good shape out there, but we really need a rain. This warm weather, I mean, we're looking 70s all this week and most of next week except for Wednesday. So pray that we get some moisture. We need it in a terrible way. Wheat futures rose overnight in trading, but the cash prices in Oklahoma is of 11 a.m. this morning. Hard red winter wheat was $8.13. Corn was $5.74. Milo was $5.77. Soybeans, $11.81 a bushel. And cotton was at $1.17 per pound. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading amidst Ongoing concerns about world supplies. Excessive rain in Australia likely will curb the country's wheat output this year as the harvest is now fully underway. Australia is expected to produce 31.5 million metric tons of wheat in the 21-22 marketing year and export 23.5 million tons, according to the data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That would be down from 33 million metric tons and 24.5 metric tons a year earlier. Exports from Russia, the world's largest exporter of the grain, were down 18% from the beginning of July through mid-November, according to the government agency. The country has imposed export taxes on wheat and may add more levies and other shipping restrictions to ensure ample domestic supply. Soybean futures were also higher in overnight trading. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 7.75 cents to $8.48 a bushel. That's $8.48 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures rose 12 cents to $8.81 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery were up a half cent to $5.92 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery gained 8 cents to $12.60 a bushel. Soy meal also added $3.80 to $353.20 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.5 cents to $59.38 a pound. Export sales of corn jumped to a marketing high last week, while soybean and wheat exports also improved. Sales improved, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Corn sales to overseas buyers in the 7 days that ended on November 18th totaled 1.43 metric tons, and that's up 58% from the previous week and 40% from the previous four-week average. That's also the highest since the marketing year started on September 1st. Mexico was the big buyer at 629,600 metric tons, followed by Canada at 306,000 tons, and Japan at 120,000 tons. China purchased 77,500 metric tons, and Saudi Arabia took 73,400 tons. Exports for the week were reported at 929,000 metric tons. That's down 20% from the week before. Soybean sales last week totaled 1.56 million metric tons. That's up 13% from week to week and 13% from the average. China bought 882,000 tons. Mexico purchased 168,200 tons. Thailand took 148,000 tons. Egypt was in there for 117,000 ton, and Indonesia purchased 89,300 tons. The total would have been higher, but an unnamed country canceled cargoes totaling 56,400 tons, and the Netherlands nixed one of their shipments. Soybean exports for the week came in at 2.25 million metric tons. That was down 4% from week to week. Wheat sales for the week rose to 567,500 metric tons, and that was up 42% from the previous week and 70% from the average, the government said. Japan purchased 154,000 tons, metric tons that is. Nigeria was in for 102,000 tons. Mexico took 82,000 tons. The Philippines took a whopping 50,800 tons. And Taiwan bought 48,000 tons. Exports for the week fell 36% to 199,200 metric tons, according to the USDA. Well, when I get back, we'll talk some more stuff on grain, a little bit on cattle, and then I have a wonderful lady that'll be on the show with me on my third segment from Amarillo, talking about the AgriLife deal going on out there tomorrow and Wednesday. So hang tight with me. I'll be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. plus at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm definitely back. Hey, big I just didn't remember. I don't know why. Anyway, big congratulations goes out to the Oklahoma State University Cowboys for the big win Saturday night in Bedlam. That was an awesome game. I got to watch it. Finally got my satellite working out the house. Fire stick. It was my fire stick. It wasn't a satellite, but you know, I got it working, and Sandy and I got to watch it. I got upset a few times in the games and was happy a few times in the game, but that was a great win. But I just got to say it out on the air. I just got to vent. Them paddles drive me crazy. How can they sit there and do that the whole game? If I was a referee, I'd throw a flag on them every time they pounded the side of that stadium with them. But anyway, that's part of their tradition. I know. Just give me a break. I'm congratulating the Cowboys. Sorry, I'm a Sooner fan, but the Riley deal caught me off guard. But anyway, other than that, everything's good. It's currently 71 degrees. Wind hasn't changed much. 6 miles an hour out of the south, and gusting up to 8 miles an hour. Got something I need to go over with you real quick. December 11th. 11 a.m. and that's Saturday. That'd be a week from this coming Saturday. So in about 12 days, the special replacement cow sale is going to be at the Hobart Stockyards. 100 young pairs, 100 bred cows, 50 replacement heifers, 150 bred heifers, and 15 breeding age bulls at this time. Concessions will be available, and anybody got any that they want to consign out there, they can call Michelle down here at Hobart at 580-330-9777, or they can get a hold of Rex Fleming. Oh, Smiley can get a hold of Mr. Fleming down there at the Hobart Stockyards. And remember, they got a sale coming up this Wednesday. If you got any cattle you need to get sold, they do a great job down there. So there we have it. Also, Mr. Zach Henderson, our Oklahoma State educator for Beckham and Ouachita County, wanted me to throw this out there at you guys. The Winter Weed ID and Herbicide Meeting will be December 7th from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. at the Beckham County Fair Barn in Sayre. Speakers will be Gary Strickland, OSU Southwest Area Agronomist, and Josh Bouchon, I hope I said that right, OSU Northwest Area Agronomist, two CEU credits will be available. Please RSVP at the extension office at 580-928-2139 or email zach.henderson@okstate.edu. There you go. Heard it from me right here on Today in Ag. I wanted to go over the drought monitor with you. Hadn't gone over that with you in a couple weeks, and it's, of course, we know we're in the drought. The South Climate Region, which is Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Hey, I know my states. I didn't have to look at the list. I was looking at the map. Oklahoma Panhandle has got red showing. That means they're in a D3 to D4, which is pretty extreme. It's an extreme drought. Most of western Oklahoma and my friends in the eastern Texas Panhandle were in a D2, which is a severe drought. There's areas north of us along the North Canadian River. It looks like up there north of Roger Mills County, somewhere in that area up there. It's not showing a drought, but I don't remember any rains coming through there in the last month or two. So it's kind of, it's got to be looking pretty dry. But for the most part of our listening area, we are in a D2 severe drought, a D2 to D3. So we need some rain. According to the National Weather Service, half an inch to locally an inch of rain fell over Mississippi, Tennessee, and eastern parts of Arkansas and parts of Louisiana. Half inch to local, over 2 inches was observed from deep south Texas. Other than those areas, most of the south received no precipitation this week. And that was us. Only precipitation going down is with irrigation. Drying soil, high evaporation, and worsening SPI and SPEI drought indicators prompt expansion of D0 to D3 in western parts of Oklahoma and Texas, while D0 to D1 expanded into eastern portions of Texas and Oklahoma to the western parts of Mississippi. The rains in the deep south eliminated moderate drought and contracted abnormal dryness along the southern Rio Grande. Well, a little update from Bob LaValle with the Oklahoma Beef Quality Assurance Coordinator for OSU. I know we're all guilty of this. I'm going to walk out there in my barn and look at some of the bottles. I wanted you guys to check your bottles out because we're getting into a part where we have to start doctoring cattle, dust ammonia, if it don't rain, and weaning, and just the whole nine yards here. But the highest quality vaccine that producers purchase may be of little value if not handled and stored properly. Even experienced producers may overlook key principles when preparing and administering vaccines and other health products for animals. Product storage and handling is important to ensure the efficiency of the products is not compromised. And storing a bottle of penicillin in the glove department of your feed truck is not one of them, according to the story. So, and needles back there in your little cubby hole in your console back there that you use 20 times, can you at least change the needle out? Them cows appreciate a sharp needle. Modified live vaccines may reconstitute with sterile diluting prior to administration. It is generally recommended that these products be used within an hour of the reconstitution of them. The products are routinely used with a good response when administered and handled according to label directions. The processing speed in the stocker operation is often considerably faster than a cow-calf operation. Cow-calf processing facilities are often in an area that are not well sheltered from the weather. This stresses the need to exercise caution when handling and administering modified live products. Common handling techniques can render MLV products ineffective and even reduce the effectiveness of killing vaccines and other products. It's always a good practice to purchase vaccines from a reputable distributor. A vaccine will have less than normal effectiveness if it has been stored improperly. Improperly storage can includes freezing or exposure to heat or sunlight. Maintaining a high level of efficiency is critical to establishing immunity in a majority of vaccinated cattle. Vaccines should be stored in a dependable refrigerator that maintains a temperature typically 35 to 45 degrees as directed by the product label. And I know all you guys read labels. And I know you're capable of reading labels. I only got one or two friends in Beckham County that can't read labels, and I won't announce their names on the radio today, but you know who you are if you're out there listening. Shoot side vaccine coolers work well for holding the vaccines during processing. These coolers have slots for holding syringes after they are loaded, and vaccines are placed inside the cooler to maintain temperature. Vaccine coolers can be purchased ready to be put to use or can easily be reconstructed by converting small coolers to the intended purpose. Instructions for constructing an inexpensive vaccine cooler are available if you get on beefextension.okstate.edu's website. And I got on there earlier this morning. It's a pretty cool deal. It's also important to maintain a record of lot, serial numbers of products in the event of a recall or other situations that might arise. A quick and easy method of recording the lot and the serial numbers while working cattle is simply to take a photo of the information on the vial label with a cell phone camera. It can be transferred later to more permanent records. Products that are out of date should be properly discarded through proper record keeping, storage, and handling. Animal health products will be an effective piece of a comprehensive cattle health program. And there you have it. There's your Jimmy Long tip of the day right there. Because it's true. We're all guilty of not putting bottles, whether it's vaccine or medicine or stuff like that, we're all guilty of not storing it right. So just take time and store it properly. Also, my method of keeping records on the cattle is very efficient. I have these tally books that every flow back hand, company man, or whoever in the oil field had, and I got plenty of them stored back for new. I write something down in my tally book every day. One tally book's for what I do all the time, whether it's hay, farming, working for somebody, and then I have my cattle books. I have every cattle book for the last 8 years. I have three of them. I'm on number three right now. Births, cattle tag numbers, the ones I sold, the whole nine yards. Those tally books are handy. You can put them right there in a little cubby hole in your pickup, and they're always there handy. I call it my Bible, and the cow Bible. And I can take you back to, I bought some cattle from K-Bar Ranch, what was it, 6 years ago? And I still got down what they were bred to when I bought them, the tag number of that cow, whether they had one, whether they lost one, when it was born, heifer, bull. It's not hard to do. I mean, you can write all that stuff down and tag your calf when it was born and all that stuff. He loses that tag, your stuff's inefficient. So anyway, but you know somebody that's in the oil field and gets you some of those tally books, they're the handiest things in the world. So there's you another Jimmy tip of the day. That's just the way I do it. So anyway, well, when I get back from this break, Megan Eckner from Amarillo is going to be on, and she's going to be talking about what's going on in Amarillo tomorrow. And she is the agent for Potter County, which is Amarillo, but she's putting on the deal, which includes the whole Texas Panhandle. And I have lots of friends out here in the Texas Panhandle. Listen up. You can go there to Amarillo. Excuse to go to Amarillo tomorrow and go get you some education up there at the farm show. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 19th. 1,721 head were sold, 13 head of steers at 442 brought 203, 5 at 506 brought 155, 11 at 632 brought 143, 14 at 653 brought 147, 7 at 799 brought 143, 9 at 991 brought 132, 10 head of heifers at 324 brought 176, 19 at 489 brought 142, 4 at 566 brought 135, 3 at 635 brought 122, 5 at 725 brought 133, 7 at 772 brought 135.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 66.50. Bred cows, 375 to 1385. Butcher bulls, 60 to 87. Pairs brought 635 to 1610. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the Beef Sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. Currently it's 72 degrees. The wind is still 5 to 6 miles an hour. Basically, it's calm for western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle. Well, today I have a special guest on from Potter County, Texas, which is Amarilla, Megan Eichner, and she is with the AgriLife Extension Education there at Potter County. But you guys got a big old workshop going on there too. But welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on. You got a farm show. Is the farm show actually going on? Is this just a workshop you guys are putting on?
No, it is part of the farm show.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
and so annually we do this.
Okay, cool. Well, what can you tell us about it? What do you got going on tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to have a CEU workshop for applicators that need CEUs to keep up with their licenses and or just want more knowledge about spraying. We have a long list of great speakers lined up that will address things like pesticide management in sorghum and corn, new herbicides for weed control in sorghum. We have a integrated pest management session where we'll have kind of a roundtable discussion. And then, of course, the Texas Department of Ag will be there to discuss some rules and regulations. And that workshop will give folks five CEUs for attendance for the whole thing. It'll have three general credits, one integrated pest management, and one law and regulations credit. So
there'll
be,
be
a great day.
It'll be a great day. This is busy going on, and
it is.
And that's a big farm show. It's been 3 years since I've been to it, but it's a really good farm show.
It is. Yes, there's lots of vendors there, and lots of activities going on for producers to come and get some education. You know, the weather's really nice, so I know it's going to be hard to get folks to get out of the fields or working cattle or whatever they're doing, but it's a good opportunity for our area for sure.
Yeah, because we have a better than normal weather going on right now, so I'm sure everybody's trying to get some little extras done.
Yeah. But
man, it's worth the deal just to take off a day. Well, of course, if you need some EU, you need to go to this. I mean, it's a pretty good opportunity to pick up some of those.
It is. Yep, it's a real easy way to do it. The we do charge a fee for that particular session. It's $60, but that does include lunch. So
that's always been
a great event.
That's cheap.
Yeah.
Do they need to RSVP?
Not really at this point. We always like to in advance a little bit just so we have a better count on food, but everybody's welcome. So they can just show up if they want. We start registration at 8 o'clock, and the program starts at 8:45. So folks will come out and see us.
Yeah, and if anybody's got any questions, they can email you, can't they?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
And that's Megan at Eichner. Just forget the E, but it's in there, E-I-K-N-E-R. At ag.tamu.edu. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right, sir.
That's good. Yep.
Well, you guys got lots else things going on out there, too.
We do. Yes, sir. Tomorrow, we're also offering a pasture management workshop. This will be a free event that starts at 1:30 in the afternoon after the Cotton U program. And that session will have a few different speakers. One will cover prescribed burns for range management for weed control. There'll be another on a pasture reseeding program that the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department has. And then the other session will be on forage-based nutritional management programs. So that one's more related to kind of cattle producers.
Right.
Or anything that folks have out grazing. So that's also going to be a great session. You know, we have, because we're so dry, typically across the area, weed control can be a big deal for pastures. So,
yep.
Hoping we can share some really good information with folks there, too.
Who's doing that? Jason's professor. Isn't he a professor, Jason Smith?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, he's an assistant professor with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're in Amarillo. So, correct me if I'm wrong. I took a wild guess. Potter County, that is Amarillo, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right. So you got the big county, or you got the most population going anyway, don't you?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an odd county, really, because there's lots of urban, but still some ag, so.
Oh, yeah, Amarillo is a big ag city out there in the middle of Texas Panhandle. And, because our big listening area for Wheeler County, and we got Shamrock, Wheeler, and Canadian, we got some dudes. Hopefully you'll see a lot of people from there. I know a lot of people from Western Oklahoma go to that farm show. So
good. I'm glad to hear that. It's a neat event for sure.
And I'm a big believer in prescribed burn. And it scares a lot of people, but it really works.
It does. It really does. Where I grew up, we burned a lot, but there was, of course, lots of plowed ground. So, and it was just different. But yeah, it's great for weed control. So.
Well, not to pry, where did you grow up at?
Southeast Colorado.
Oh, you did?
Close to Lamar.
That's why you got the Colorado number. So,
I know
right where Lamar is. It's not a lot of difference between Lamar and Amarillo, that whole Texas panhandle.
No, you're right.
They're just flat and not necessarily totally flat, but a lot of agriculture there.
Pretty flat, there is. Yes, sir.
Like I said, I'm a big believer in the prescribed burn. Well, you got some other stuff going on with the healthy living, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm not a super familiar with that, but we do have some booths set up. Yeah, where our family and community health folks that will be stationed, and I think they'll share several different health and nutrition related information at that booth. So, yeah. We've all got lots of different roles going on.
What do you know exactly on the farm show? How long is that, the farm show itself, last?
Let me Google it.
It looks like...
I think it goes through Thursday, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing, through Thursday.
Yep.
Yep, so the farm show. So you guys, I know you got your cotton out. Well, most of you have. That are listening, the peanuts are done. I know you got most of your sowing done. You got time, go out there to this and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yep, would love to meet everybody. Come see us.
You will. So, well, Megan, thank you so much for being on today and giving us some information for everybody. Got a chance to, if you're a Texas rancher or farmer tomorrow, you got a chance to get, am I right, 5 CEUs?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's some free stuff going on about pasture management, which that looks pretty fun. I wish I didn't have the show in the middle of the day. I'd come out there. But anyway, the topics are prescribed burn. If you didn't hear earlier, prescribed burn management for pasture management, pasture and reseeding programs, and forage-based nutrition management programs for beef cattle.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, well, thank you so much for taking time to join us, and you have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, you was listening to Megan Ackner. She is with the AgriLife Extension Office out there in Potter County, Texas, but she was speaking for the whole Panhandle of Texas. They've got some stuff coming up for the Amarillo Farm Show, CEU workshops, and the whole nine yards. Well, you've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, November 23rd, we sold 744 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, November 18th, we sold 4,273 calves and feeders for a total of 5,017 cattle for the week. Killing cows 3 to 6 higher on Tuesday, bulls 2 to 5 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows 66 to 76.50. Then cows bring 40 to 58, bulls bring 78 to 87. 2 to 4 year old bred cows 9.10 to 11.75, with a 5 to 8 year old bred cow 7.50 to 13.10, 9 and older bred cows 7.50 to 9.85, 2 to 8 year old pairs 10.75 to 14.75, with a 9 and older pairs 9.50 to 10.75. Steer cattle, steers and heifers, feeders very aggressive, 3 to 3.50 steers 2.08 to 2.16, 4 to 4.50 1.71 to 2.01, 5 to 5.50 1.53 to 1.87, 6 to 6.50 1.36 to 1.67, 7 to 7.50, 143 to 163.5, 8 to 8.50, 147 to 161.5, 8.50 to 9 weight steers, 145 to 164, and a 9 to 9.50 steers, 150.50 to 154.75. Hunter heifers, 3 to 3.50 weight heifers, 177 to 182, 4 to 4.50, 133 to 161, 5 to 5.50, 136 to 162, 6 to 6.50, 133 to 153.5, 7 to 7.50, 139 to 156. 8.50, 142 to 149.75, and our 894 to 899 heifers, 140 to 143.5. Remember, we have 14 feeder buyers every week to ensure you get top dollar. Plus, I stay in the ring start to finish, make sure we get the most we can for every head. No sale this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, but we'll be back after that for 3 Tuesdays and 3 Thursdays by the end of the year. Remind your family all the things they have to be thankful for. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. I'll save the text messages, man. I curled some hairs up on there. Got some people's attention. You two that text in, you're the reason I don't take live calls. Well, today, sunny with a high near 76, southwest wind, 6 to 9 miles an hour, basically no wind. Tuesday, tomorrow, high near 72, no difference. Winds tomorrow afternoon will actually turn around and come around out of the north, northeast. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 70, northwest winds. Light and variable. Thursday, sunny with a high near 75. Friday, high near 72. Saturday, sunny with a high near 62. So it's going to cool down a little bit Friday evening, looks like. And then Sunday, high near 64. Well, there's no rain in the forecast, gentlemen and ladies, till next week. Sorry, Wednesday, and it's just a 15% chance right now. But you know how that goes. But I will tell you, with a little weather research I was doing last night, this weekend, there's a gentleman predicting around December 13th to 15th that our weather pattern is going to change. It is going to be colder. How about just normal? and moisture is in the forecast. So that's what he's saying. And when we get later on in this week, we will see how that pattern's looking, because right now what I'm seeing 7 to 10 days out, it ain't happening. Text line. All right, here we go. If I recall, the schooner has paddles. The pokes just know how to use them, not just swing them on our arm. Okay. Anyway, and then another one was, Gundy ran Riley plum out of the state. So anyway, it's better for you guys. Anyway, so anyway, that was what's going on there. I haven't got any texts yet on the text line for any questions anybody wants me to ask U.S. Representative Frank Lucas from Cheyenne, Oklahoma. He'll be on the show the first half tomorrow, because I'm not going to take any texts tomorrow while I'm talking with him on the line. So if you got any, you got about 10 minutes here to get them set in. 580-225-9697. According to the monthly report, cattle on feed in the U.S. is down slightly, which is no big surprise. The USDA report notes on, as of November 1st, 11.9 million head were on hand. According to a report from Gary Crawford that confirms expectations of a smaller beef herd going into next year. Cattle and calves on feed for slaughter market in the U.S. for feedlots with capacity of 1,000 or more total 11.9 million head on feed. November 1st, 2021, the inventory was slightly below November of 2020. Placements in feedlots during October total 2.25 million head, 2% above last year. Net placements were at 2.19 million head during October. Placements of cattle and calves weighing less than 600 pounds were 575,000 head. 600 to 699 pounds were at 500,000 head. And 700 to 799 pounds were at 470,000 head. 800 to 899 pounds were at 425,000 head. And 900 to 999 pounds were at 190,000 head. And 1,000 pounds or greater were at 85,000 head. Marketing and fed cattle during October totaled 1.79 million head, 5% below last year of 2020. All right, hot news coming in today with President Biden. He's meeting with the CEOs on supply chain amid the new COVID variant threat. President Joe Biden planned to meet with chief executives of major retailers and other companies on Monday to discuss how to move goods to shelves as the U.S. holiday shopping season begins in the shadow of the Omicron, I guess that's what they're saying, coronavirus variant. And I'm reading you guys this report because the supply chain for agriculture is sucking right now. A lot of people can't get stuff. So this has something to do with this. The Democratic president also sought investigations into excessive shipping fees and possible illegal conduct into oil and gas markets that are keeping fuel prices high. Biden planned to host at the White House the CEOs of Best Buy, Food Lion, Samsung, North America, Tudu Supermarket, Esti, Mantel, and Kroger, the White House said. Also participating in the meeting will include Walmart CEO Doug McMillon and CVS Health CEO Karen Lynch. Biden will make public remarks after the meeting, which follows the start of the year-end shopping season on Black Friday. I bet there's a bunch of you guys on the internet today doing your big sale they're having today if you buy online. But Black Friday retail sales were up 29.8% versus 2020. That's not a fair comparison. There's nobody shopping last year. According to MasterCard Spending Pulse, bargain hunters who ventured out to buy Christmas gifts on the day after Thanksgiving found stores less crowded amid a shift online, COVID fears, and less steep discounts. U.S. retailers are estimated to generate online sales up to $11.4 billion today on Cyber Monday. A decline in the growth from a year earlier as fewer discounts and limited choices due to global supply chain disruptions deter shoppers. Earlier on Monday, Biden will receive a briefing from the White House on the COVID-19 response team on developments related to the new Omicron, however you want to say that variant. So, anyway, it's coming out. Well, speaking of President Biden, here we go. During the U.S. Farm Report consumer support segment last weekend, Dave Finn and Curtis asked John Phelps the following question. The economy is a very complex web, but do you really believe that campaign statements and early actions by the Biden administration has no effect on fuel prices? Stopping two major pipeline projects, restricting general drilling on federal lands, and the general animosity towards carbon fuels production had no effect on prices. Was it just a coincidence? Dave, they may have some effect, but not much. I think the impact of the pipeline completion was always years in the future. Gasoline prices follow current oil prices and some other factors like inventories and refining capacity. If Biden were to reverse course tomorrow, it would take years for the KXL oil to reach refineries in Texas, even then, because tar sands is heavy and sour requires specific refineries. Most experts expected it would be used to replace Venezuelan imports, a similar kind of petroleum. I'm guessing the other pipeline you refer to is the Minnesota No. 3 replacement line, which is about three-quarters finished and has not been canceled yet. If it comes online, the old No. 3 pipeline will close, so it will provide a little new capacity. The economic impact of opening drilling on federal lands is further in the future. He said, I showed this last week in a different form, but due to the tight oil fracking, which is still 15% below what it was last year, but increasing thanks to $80 oil, our petroleum imports are virtually matched by our exports, mostly as finished products like gasoline and liquid natural gas. We aren't sending gobs of money to OPEC, Saudi Arabia, and other Persian Gulf countries. We're mostly buying from Canada and Mexico. It is hard for us to remember that the 80s comprehend the U.S. as a net petroleum export, but we are close. Worries about dependence on imported oil has little basis. One reason we're both buying and selling is our refinery locations. Many around the Gulf and a few on the coasts. Supply doesn't match up well where people want to buy gas. Often, importing or exporting makes the most sense. Also, remember the U.S. has not built a new refinery since 1977. I didn't know that till today when I read this report. Location is thus the big factor in gas prices as well as state taxes. If the XL pipeline cancellation has any effect on gas prices today, it is trivial compared to the current oil economics and domestic oil production. So anyway, that's the reason why we're paying almost $3 for red diesel for our tractors right now. Not the pipeline. It's just because oil's high. That big pipeline that was got canceled out, it had an impact on economics on local economies around throughout there, no matter what the other side says. I've worked around a lot of areas where they run big pipelines. The motels are full, the restaurants are full, they're buying fuel from all the local vendors, and I'm still mad at him canceling that pipeline, but that's just my feeling. So anyway, looking ahead, we got all kinds of good stuff. We got a text. Let me read it first. Let me see what. All right. I'm not repeating that on the radio. Anyway, we got some funny people out there. The last 2 years may be the most interesting and challenging that I've observed over the last 40 years as being a market analyst. This is from John Nelevick. And working on cattle ranches before that, I admit that from a perspective of the market outlook and this year's drought, it's nice to be at the end of 2021 and closing is in on the beginning of 2022. Yep, we're about 31 days from being there. Let's look at the prospects, he says, for 2022. I begin again by repeating markets are a function of the dynamics of supply and demand. And that's what I do here every day on Today in Ag is repeat markets most of the time. While they may seem like they're one of the most overused statements made by economists, economists both have played an important role in the markets over the past 6 months, as well as the outlook going forward. Beginning with the supply aspect, I don't think anybody would argue the cattle numbers will be declining. Man, are you in here to talk? Why? What are you doing? Oh, anyway, Butch Black just walked in my studio. He's an old farm boy. Come on, talk with us a little bit. You can hear me. I'll yell at you.
I'm not a farm boy. I was raised on a dairy. There's a difference.
What's the difference? Tell us.
There's definitely no money in the dairy business.
Yeah, and you never got a day off.
Right. And farming, every once in a while, you'll make 15 or 20 cents.
A bushel or per acre?
That's overall. unfortunately, the farmer is underappreciated. Definitely.
Farmers and ranchers are underappreciated.
They really are, because they put all the foodstuffs on the table and then get treated like garbage.
And they get the lowest prices.
Yeah, absolutely. But you've got middlemen in there that are making buku's money. And so, yeah, I mean, I understand the plight of the farmer, and that's the reason I got away from farm industry, because of the time off. I went to work in the oil field. Because on a dairy, you're absolutely right. There is no time off.
In the oil field, there is?
Yeah.
When?
Well, compared to a dairy, there is. I got off once or twice a year, whether I wanted to or not. And on the dairy, you don't get that unless you're on at death's door.
Oh, you're something, Butch Black.
When we figure it out, we'll let everybody know.
Well, you notice when I'm reading numbers, I don't screw up like you on the thousands and hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, see how you are?
You notice that?
Yeah, that's because you can see. You wear your glasses. I don't.
Well, Butch, go back to what you were doing. And I'm going to finish my report.
Okay.
Here we go. Beginning with the supply chain aspect, I don't think anybody would argue that cattle numbers will be declining as low prices and drought have led to herd liquidation over the past 2 years. And it's a true story. I got rid of over half of my herd last year because of the drought. And though the end of October, beef cow slaughter was 10% higher than a year earlier, in fact, the industry slaughtered the largest number of beef cows since 2011, a year when herd liquidation driven by drought beginning in the Southwest, and I remember that drought too, and moving into the Midwest pushed U.S. cattle numbers to a 50-year low by the beginning of 2014. Dairy cattle slaughter, something you're involved in, dairy cattle, is up 3% year-to-date, with total cattle slaughter through October posted a 6% increase from year earlier and the highest since 1996. Furthermore, we started with nearly the same U.S. cattle inventory at the beginning of 2011 as we did at the beginning of 2020. That makes sense. How about the other part of the breeding herd, heifers? Heifer slaughter through the end of October was the highest since 2011. I am forecasting, he says, in 2022, heifer slaughter to be down 4% from this year and just marginally higher than during 2012. Reduced cattle numbers for 2022 and likely through 2024 are evident. My forecast or estimate for the January 1 total inventory is 91.25 million cows in inventory. That's down 2% from last year. from the beginning of this year, if you want to call it. That's the lowest since 2015 and 475,000 more than the beginning of the 2012 cattle herd. That's a lot of numbers, but it's very important as we look ahead. He said he's forecasting the 2022 cattle slaughter to be down just a little bit over 2% from this year's 3% increase, which fed cattle numbers are down 2% and cow slaughter down 4% from a year earlier. While there is always uncertainty with carcass weights, I would expect weights to fall as fed cattle numbers decline and feedlots are increasingly current with show list marketing in a strong market. Also, feed cost and the cost of gain will continue to be relatively high. So assuming 1% year over year in the carcass weights continue, there will be production in 2022 will be down 3% from his estimate in 2021. There you have it. Cattle numbers are going to be down a little bit from everybody in the drought. So anyway, please join me tomorrow, especially for the first half, as I have U.S. Representative Frank Lucas on the show with me. And I'm not asking him no trick questions, so you guys just keep sending those stupid texts in here. I'm not asking him that. Anyway, enjoy your day. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5 KECO Elk City.
Reassurance from the White House. Lisa Brady, Fox News. The president on what steps his administration is taking to help protect Americans from COVID's new strain.
President Biden says sooner or later, cases of the Omicron variant will show up in the U.S.
This variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic.
The president says he implemented a travel ban from several South African countries to slow Omicron spread.
It gives us time. Gives us time to take more actions.
President Biden and his chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, say vaccines and boosters likely provide increased protection against the new strain. But if modified vaccines are needed, the president says his administration will accelerate their development and deployment. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The president's also encouraging people to wear masks indoors, prompting questions about why his mask was lowered in a Nantucket shop over the weekend. Spokeswoman Jen Psaki sidestepping specifics on that moment, but she says the president follows the advice of health officials. Meantime, the UN just out with a statement calling the global risk for the new variant very high, but again, based on early evidence as a study continues. Jury selection begins tomorrow in the trial of a now former Minnesota police officer in the death of Dante Wright, who was shot and killed during a traffic stop in April. The family holding a news conference today.
Just to have this trial is an extraordinary amount or an extraordinary step towards justice that so many of these other grieving families have never experienced.
Family attorney Jeff Storm says the trial will test Minnesota's values and ethics. Former officer Kim Potter, charged with manslaughter, is seen on body cam footage warning Wright she'll tase him, and then after the shooting saying she grabbed the wrong gun. America is listening to Fox News.
Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Cyber Monday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Fever is the leading symptom of COVID and the flu, and the only way to reliably detect it is with an accurate thermometer. Be vigilant and be accurate with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, whose accuracy has been proven in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They are proven to be inaccurate and will not reliably detect a fever that might mean COVID. Be sure to seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Circle A Western Outdoor has a brand new website, CircleAWestern.com. You can now shop our entire inventory online. I'm store manager Taya Stanley, and we understand that being able to walk into a store nowadays isn't as easy as it once was. That's why we launched CircleAWestern.com so our customers could have a secure online store access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus, sign up for the newsletter and get notified of our sales and specials. Visit us online at CircleAWestern.com or stop by Circle A Western Outdoor, 3000 West 3rd Street in Elk City. Find us on Facebook.